Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. As the investigation continues into the murder of Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger in a West Virginia prison last month, an 86-year-old Florida man has come forward with letters he says he regularly received from Bulger. Charlie Hopkins says he knew Bulger because they both knew the same people from their time in prison in Alcatraz during the 1950s. Hopkins has been corresponding with Bulger for decades, and in particular, he points to one letter that Bulger wrote to him in July of 2017. In that letter, Hopkins says the 89-year-old Bulger described his health as deteriorating and said Bulger wrote that he wished for a peaceful death. Now, this letter calls into question, again, why authorities have determined that Bulger's health had improved so they could move him to the West Virginia prison, which provides more limited medical services than the facility where Bulger was incarcerated. And, of course, Bulger was found beaten to death just hours after he was moved to West Virginia. When we called Charlie Hopkins earlier today, we started by asking him what Bulger said in that letter.
The one I got in July, he talked about how his health was going down, that they wanted to put him in a hospital downtown, and he refused. And he told me that the reason he didn't want to go back is when they had him in there before, they kept him chained to the bed, and they had a guard watching him 24 hours a day.
So what he basically said to you in the letter that he wrote in July of 2017 was that his health was deteriorating. They wanted to take him into a hospital, but he didn't want to go because
he said he was having heart problems, heart pain, and he couldn't breathe. Said they was having to give him oxygen, and he told me several times over like the past year or so that he needed oxygen, but they wouldn't let him have it in his cell.
How often did you hear from him?
Once a month, sometimes twice. He told me things he didn't tell his family. He told me he didn't want his family, you know, to worry and you know, be bothered with what was happening to him.
So prison officials say that Whitey Bulger was moved from a prison in Florida to West Virginia because his health had improved. So that's obviously very different from what you heard from him.
Oh, it's in his own words. How can they say that when he's telling me in the July letter how he was having chest pains, that he told me a couple of times in different letters that he was having blackouts, and he would take a nitro pill and said that would bring him out of it.
So why do you think if he had these health problems that he was transferred to West Virginia, which had fewer medical services than the prison where he had been?
Well, to start with, they hated him, and I've been there. I know how they lie. I spent 11 years in federal prison.
Right, you did 11 years for kidnapping.
Kidnapping, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you never met Whitey Bulger.
No, he came to the Rock right after I left. I was just leaving when, you know, he came in.
So it's my understanding that you and Whitey started writing to each other after you wrote first, because you learned that Whitey Bulger had paid $10,000 to have another Alcatraz prisoner's remains have a proper burial in Oklahoma, opposed to being...
Yeah, that was our friend, Joe Kearns. He spent $23,000.
$23,000.
His bodyguard said it was $23,000. He also took a satchel full of $100 bills to the funeral, and he handed them out by the handful to the poor Indian.
Whitey did this?
Yes.
Now, you know, some people listening to you talk, they might think, you know what? Whitey Bulger was a violent man. He killed people. He ratted on people. They don't have a lot of...
No, he didn't rat. He wasn't no informer. The FBI used that as a cover. They had to have some excuse for why they were protecting him.
What do you think releasing these letters and talking about them publicly now? I mean, why do that? What does it do?
The only thing I put in the letters that I showed Shelley at the Boston Globe proves that his health was getting worse, not better. That's the whole idea. They're definitely lying about his health. They use that as an excuse for doing what they did, that his health got better and he doesn't need to be there. Hell, he can't hardly breathe, that he was needing oxygen to breathe, and that he was having all kind of chest pains with his heart. And he was in a wheelchair. He had guys in there that would wheel him around. He told me he got caught on the yard one day in bad weather and said lightning started popping, and said that if it hadn't been for the guys that would wheel him around, that he would have probably got hit by lightning. He said, and I can just see the headline saying Whitey died in chair. He made a joke out of it.
Well, Mr. Hopkins, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Charlie Hopkins corresponded with Whitey Bulger for several years before Bulger was murdered in prison last month. Mr. Hopkins, thanks so much.
All right. You're welcome.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell, with help from Eve Zukoff and Walt Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hati. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.